I think that if I had to pick which two sentences my mother spoke most often to me as I was growing up, it would be a sort of neck and neck competition between get your elbows off the table and stand up straight. Now, get your elbows off the table. I want you to know, now that I am an adult, I think that one is more or less arbitrary. Your elbows are no dirtier than your hands. And even though you may not like seeing someone's elbows on the table, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with putting your elbows on the table. Now, I came from a family of four boys, so sometimes my mother had to say, get your feet off the table. That one I will concede. That one was okay. But elbows, I think, is at best arguable. But stand up straight, I have decided, has a religious basis. And my mother, although I'm not sure that she intended it this way, when she used to tell us to stand up straight, she was teaching us Torah. And if you doubt me, then I point you to this morning's Parsha, where God says to the Israelites, I liberated you from Egypt and I took the yoke off your neck. Why, you ask? And according to the verse, it says, Olech etchem komamiut, so that you could stand upright. In other words, God said, stand up straight. But it's a religious imperative. Now you know that this is not only a verse in the Torah, but you did it this morning. When you pray the Amidah, when you say Baruch, you bend your knees. When you say Atah, you bend over. But when you say Adonai, God's name, you stand up straight. Because when you're addressing God, you're supposed to address God with the full plenitude of being a human. There are other religious traditions that don't emphasize this, that emphasize being bent over or having your face to the ground, whose essence is submission and not uprightness. But here in the Torah portion this morning and in our central prayer, which is called what? The Amidah, the standing, not the bending, not the bowing. It's called the standing. That's what Amidah means. Our central prayer is one in which human beings are supposed to stand up straight. In other words, there is nothing wrong with thinking that you are a special creation of God and that God wants to meet you as somebody who has inside of him or herself the esteem of being unique and being eternal. When God comes to the prophet Ezekiel, this is how he begins speaking to Ezekiel. He says, Amod al raglecha ba'adaber lach, stand on your feet and then I'll talk to you. This idea that you should in fact think well of yourself is also the source of a very beautiful story about the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim was the most famous rabbi of his day at the end of the 1800s. He lived in a little town called Radun in Poland that no one went to except that the Chafetz Chaim was there. And his great series of books was about Lashon Hara, speaking unkindly of others, and Motzi Shem Ra, slander. He codified and wrote about all the laws of gossip and slander and the way you're supposed to speak in the Jewish tradition and became world famous for it. So once he was on a train going home, and he saw another Jew sitting in the train compartment, and he said to him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Radun. He said, why are you going to Radun? He said, I am going there to see the great, the mighty, the revered, the genius, the tzaddik, the Chafetz Chaim. So Chafetz Chaim was embarrassed. He didn't want to say, oh, that's me. So he said, you know what? He's overrated. And the other man was so upset. He said, how dare you insult the tzaddik? He slapped him. So now they get off the train. And the guy goes to see the Chafetz Chaim, and who's sitting there but the guy he slapped on the train. And he begins to apologize profusely, and the Chafetz Chaim says, you have nothing to apologize for. He said, you taught me something very important, which is, I spend my whole life telling people not to speak badly of each other. You taught me you're not supposed to speak badly of yourself either. It's the same lesson. It's not arrogance. It's actually a deep humility that knows that you can stand up straight, that you can think well of yourself, and it's not a product of arrogance. It's what God wants of you. It doesn't mean that you're better than the next person who's standing up straight. But it also means that sometimes if you take this humble position, it's because you're afraid or unwilling to be who you are. And that, after all, is in some ways everyone's mission. That if God makes you unique, as the Kutzker Rebbe said, and you spend your life trying to be someone else, who will be you? And so you have to stand up straight. I don't know how many of you have seen this TED Talk that went more than viral. It's been seen, God knows, millions of times by Amy Cuddy, who's a professor, who talks about how before you do something, like a job interview or a speech, whatever, you should stand in a posture of confidence and fulfillment because it will change the way you act even 15, 20, 30 minutes later. If you haven't seen it, it's very interesting to watch. But when I saw that, I thought, koma miut. What God is saying to the slaves in the desert is, if you want to be the kind of people who can take the land of Israel, you got to stand up straight. That was part of the lesson of modern Zionism. That Jews who had in the diaspora been bent over, been beaten down, in order to be a free people, had to relearn Kom Miut Li'Artzeinu, standing up straight in our own land. But it is a lesson that is not only for the Jewish people, it's also for every individual. I know that this isn't exactly a Torah source, but if you've never seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and I can't recommend it highly enough, even though when you see it, you'll think this is probably not a movie a rabbi should go around recommending, but there's this one scene where the knights are, God comes out of the sky and the knights are all groveling and God says, stop groveling already. Why is it every time I appear, people grovel? But that doesn't happen in synagogue. The one time we put our face to the ground is on Yom Kippur, because you should also sometimes feel your creatureliness and your smallness. That's part of being a person and it's important, but most of the time, you have to feel your majesty. Heschel used to love to quote the Hasidic statement that the greatest mistake a human being can make is to forget that he's a king. It shouldn't make you arrogant, but it should make you stand up straight. So in short, what I'm trying to say is my mother was right. And her message was deep. And it is the same message that God gives us this morning. When you feel your smallness, and we all do at times, remember that before God, infinitely greater than any of us, we are supposed to stand and feel our height, and feel our power, and feel our gifts. I was finishing a book called Sapiens by an Israeli author called Yuval Harari. It's a fascinating book. And one of the things he talks about, it's all basically large subjects, how economies came to be, what evolution is about. And he talks about why science triumphed in the Western world and not in the Eastern world. And he didn't quote my favorite explanation, although he came close to it. Daniel Boorstin, the historian of ideas, said the reason that science triumphed in the West and not in the East is because in the West, we have a creator God. God creates things. And so if you're going to imitate God, you have to make things in this world. You have to build and make and create. In other words, you have to stand up straight. It is a beautiful lesson. It's a deep one. And it's one that I hope we can incorporate into our lives, just as, in time, the Israelites did when they first entered the land. Shabbat Shalom.